service with a wink and a nod. You meet a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Go, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And it is Friday night. My name is Doug McBurney, and I am back in the studio. It's great to be here, Bob.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm great. I've missed you guys.
Well, you've been traveling.
Been traveling a lot.
Vegas, Florida.
I've been being wanded.
Hey, and tomorrow is a big night here in Denver. Now, for those listening around the country,
yeah,
and our radio affiliates,
right,
they're going to miss out.
Well,
because tomorrow afternoon, radio history is being made right here in Denver, Colorado.
That's right. The Weekly Worldview moves from a global audience on the internet and narrows itself to one minor number 23 market right here in Denver, Colorado.
Is that what Denver is? Number 23?
23, 27, 22. Something like that. So I'm narrowing my view.
So
from the world.
From KGOV, KGOV.com on the web.
Right.
To KHOW Radio. Now, that's a major radio station.
It's their big number two broadcast AM non-music.
Yeah.
Talk type.
KHOW is big.
They're big.
You know, Rush is on KHOW almost every other day.
That's true. Yeah. It's a clear channel station.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the shows are going to be archived right on.
Well, you can get to it from
KGOV. Right, you get to it from theweeklyworldview.com, but don't go there yet because my site's embarrassing.
Okay, and so Saturday at 4 o'clock.
4 to 5 p.m.
4 to 5 p.m.
Right.
Saturday, KHOW, 6:30 a.m.
If my memory serves me correctly, everyone in Denver is driving at that time.
Now,
so it can't
that's
be
right,
bad.
Drive time on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, hey, Doug, so we're on KLTT, our flagship station in Denver right now.
Uh-oh.
And we're talking about another station.
We're cross-promoting or?
670.
Right, and we're talking about
down
630.
Down to 630.
Which is left on the dial.
It's a bit left.
A bit left.
And they're liberal.
Yeah.
But it's lower, which is better.
Well.
But KLTT has got 50,000 watts.
Yeah, you can hear KLTT in Manitoba, you know.
Yeah, KLTT really booms.
They're a powerhouse.
So anyway, so KHOW, we're going to be tuning in. We can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be an honor. But it's an honor to be on KLTT. And
all right. So we're ready to do the show. Our phone number 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278.
Bob, I got an awesome story from the world of intelligence gathering, which is one of the things that we just love. I love intelligence gathering. I like thinking about intelligence gathering and the things that good intelligence can produce, like dead enemy soldiers and stuff like that. So this is an awesome news. They captured this terrorist. You heard about this guy, right? Abu Zubaydah. Abu Zubaydah has provided information that U.S. officials say have helped to preempt a new wave of attacks.
And it's so cool that the FBI, these terrorists, they don't want to talk to us once we've got them in Guantanamo Bay or wherever.
No.
But all these interviews, and they sort of get through to some of these guys. Well, they break them.
Well, they say he may have given this information inadvertently.
Yeah, accidentally. I don't mean they break him like they say, oh, I did the wrong thing.
Right.
But they get information out of him.
Yeah, offer him a cigarette at the right time, you know, and the guy starts talking.
I think they're stupid.
Terrorists. Did you see they showed the shoes finally? Did you see the shoes that the shoe bomber Richard Reed was trying to get on the plane with?
No.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
There's wires and things sticking out. It was like a comedy or something.
Like lights flashing.
It was like, yeah, like a Marx Brothers. Let me on the plane. You know, it was unbelievable.
Oh, I didn't know his shoes looked like that. You know, El Al Airlines, when he took a flight to Tel Aviv on El Al, and when he went to board the plane, they took his shoes off. They did.
Okay.
They searched his shoes. They searched everything.
Right.
They searched his underwear and his luggage.
Right.
And they put a security guard with a gun in the chair next to him.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
Well, they don't mess around at LL. You
no.
got shoes like that. If you're not a card-carrying member of the Clowns Union,
right,
you're not getting on this plane.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
So this guy in jail, they got the FBI interviewed him over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. They've been going at this guy forever.
100 interviews.
And
so
we've got
far.
A couple of things from him. You know, the guy who was plotting to detonate the dirty bomb.
Yeah, not that he had one, but that was what he was trying to figure out how to do.
The guy Padilla, right?
The American, who's now arrested.
Right.
That's excellent. What else did
he get? They tracked that guy down because of him. And he also gave the identity of some of the central planners behind the September 11th attacks.
Guys like Khalid Saeed. What's that guy's last name? Mohammed.
That's right. That's it. It's
the
Mohammed.
The terrorist name's Mohammed. I wonder how I pull that out of my memory banks.
That's very good.
Why is it that every other terrorist is named Mohammed?
I don't know.
Why is that?
They're not a very creative lot.
I mean, how many terrorists have there been named Jesus? I can't think of any.
No. There hasn't been any. There's not many people named Jesus,
except in Mexico.
In Mexico, but Jesus. That's true. That's true.
I wonder how that happened.
I know. I mean, how, don't you think that's a little presumptuous to name your son Jesus?
Well, for some reason, you know, it just got caught on culturally
in
Mexico. But it's true in America and Europe. You don't call people Jesus. You just why not?
I don't know.
You know, it's a popular name. That might be more testimony to how different in the whole history of the world that Jesus is.
Yeah, that really is.
You know, it's cool. Okay,
I was thinking about Joseph, and I thought that was pushing it. Okay. I mean, Joseph is big time.
We have Dominic Joseph. He's 1 year old.
I know he's getting so big.
Yeah.
Walking around out there. Fortunately, he's not that tall yet, though, because he tumbles quite often.
Yeah, he does.
So
he likes the trampoline.
All right. So I hate to go from, you know, talking about Dominic to a story like this, but have you heard about the story out of Minnesota?
Usually there's not much
good coming out of Minnesota.
It's
got to
be bad if it's Minnesota.
Yeah. Now, this does not involve Jesse the Thyroid Ventura in any way.
Right.
This is about a story from earlier in the week. An elementary school principal apparently sent out a letter to 700 of his students' parents.
Oh, the Nickelodeon principal. Go ahead. That's who it is, right?
In the letter, he wrote the letter to tell the parents, I'm gay.
He came out to
the parents of the school district.
Right. Doug, he's the guy that's on the Nickelodeon special.
Nickelodeon's the show with all the kids' shows. You're thinking of he's going to be on 2020 or something.
No, June 18th at 9 o'clock. That principal is going to be on a show where they're teaching kids that homosexuality is good on Nickelodeon, a one-hour show. Rosie O'Donnell, Linda Ellerby.
All right, give me that. You're right. Nick News for Kids.
Nick News for Kids, he's going to be on, right?
Well, they're serious.
Is it in
shows.
That story?
Yeah, it's
right
here.
There?
Nick News for Kids.
All right.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Imagine June 18th, Nickelodeon, 1 hour, teaching kids that it's good to be a homo. And Rosie O'Donnell is going to be, they're going to be talking about adopting kids, her effort in Florida, and they're going to talk about hate crimes, and that's code word for Christians are no good.
Right.
That's what hate crime means.
Of course.
So, and then they said it's going to be fair and balanced because they're going to have Jerry Falwell on and make fun of him for about 2 minutes.
Fair and balanced against Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah. You know, Jerry Falwell will be on, and the next day, June 19th at 9 a.m., he has a press conference scheduled.
Yeah.
In which he's going to retract and apologize for everything he said on the show the night before. I love Jerry, but he always does that. He says something good, then he apologizes. Live commercial break, Doug. I hope you help me here with
this. I'm here for you.
Hey, Doug, people keep calling up. We're so thrilled and telling us about their response to our Bible study albums.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, now that we're on in a couple more cities around the country, there are new people finding out about Bob and Yurt Live. I pastor Denver Bible Church. We do our Bible studies for years, right?
I've been going for 3.5, 4.5 years.
Yeah,
quite a while.
We just have the greatest time, and we record them. So people who live in Denver, you could come to Denver Bible Church.
Sure, come right on down.
Just call us up. And we'll tell you how to get there or look us up on the web.
303-463-1707, right, to get information.
Yeah.
Or the easiest way, denverbiblechurch.org.
Yeah.
Go there, get directions, get in contact.
Hey, that's a good URL.
denverbiblechurch.org.
That's a good domain.
It's in all my commercials that I'm going to be running.
Denver. Oh, you're going to do commercials?
I'm going to tolerate
sponsors. For Denver Bible Church?
Yeah.
on KHOW.
Yeah.
Oh, their transmitter's going to blow.
DenverBibleChurch.org.
They don't do that there on KHOW.
So you can go there and come to the Bible study,
But people who don't live in Denver, if they can't come to the Bible study, they can call us and order the monthly Bible study, $24.95 a month.
Right.
It's pretty much $25.
$25 a month, frankly.
Yeah.
You know.
On a credit card.
Now, what do you do for Canadians? You give them some kind of discount?
Same price.
No?
We always give the same price for Canadians.
All right. What if someone's in England? Let's say they're a letter carrier.
Same price.
Same, $24 $25 American.
Well, whatever.
Thank you very much.
We don't care.
But I tell you what, Bob, it's the best $25 anyone will ever spend, especially, oh man, Romans, you're blowing my mind.
Romans is so fun. Next break in a half hour, at that break, I want to give the questions that are answered in our Volume 1 of Romans from Romans chapters 1 through 5. So call us, 1-888-8-IN-EUROPE. We're back. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. So, Doug, Jerry Falwell, he always does that.
Yeah, yeah.
He schedules, his secretary does it, schedules a press conference for 9 o'clock in the morning, and then she pencils in his calendar later that day at 3, issue a press release apologizing and retracting.
Exactly.
He's such a nice guy, but that's what he does.
Well, you know why?
Why does he do that?
Well, I'll tell you why, Bob.
Why?
Listen to the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
Reaction to the letter from the homosexual elementary school principal. Right. Elementary school, I said.
Yeah, little kiddies.
Reaction in the community has been mild. And then the article,
of course,
it's been extremely mild.
Who's going to say anything?
Yeah.
Except, you know, on KLTT.
Yeah, yeah.
And IRN. And KGO. You can't say the stuff on KL.
No, I'm not. Are you kidding me? I'll be off in a half an hour. Anyway, the reaction's been mild, and the whole article where they quote several of the short-haired, chunky black shoes girls types, and then the men with the silk shirts and the pinky ring, those type of guys. They quote several of those.
Right.
But they can only find one outraged parent in the whole story. And she acknowledges that all the parents and kids, they like French. He's the nicest guy we ever met.
No. Hey, that's what we've been saying on this show for years. Because people say, well, I know a homosexual. He's so nice.
Oh, sure.
But nice, what does nice mean? If there's a child molester on your block, not that every homo's a child molester.
Not all of them.
But if there's a child molester on your street,
right,
he will be the nicest guy on the block.
Sure.
He'll be the guy who offers to fix the kids' bicycles.
Right.
He'll take the kids out for ice cream sundaes.
Mm-hmm.
He'll invite them over his house to watch big screen videos of Toy Story.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be the nicest guy.
Yeah.
And a pimp is the nicest guy.
Yeah, cocaine dealers, they're nicest people you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah, a 15, 18-year-old girl and a pimp is trying to enlist her.
Mm-hmm.
He is the nicest guy she will ever meet. Nice is somewhat meaningless.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when the nice guy in the neighborhood comes over and he offers to coordinate your drapes and your furniture, you should get suspicious.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, he might be nice, but even if he's not a child molester, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if he's just a run-of-the-mill garden variety homosexual.
Hey, you know,
he's destroying his own life.
Now, the Boy Scouts, the nicest Boy Scout group in the whole country
is
in Boston.
Oh, yeah. They got a lot of nice people in Boston.
They do. Because I don't know how many people in the audience have heard this story.
We got an audience in Boston, by the way. Be careful.
All right.
Yeah.
The Boy Scout group in Boston just had their annual fundraiser, and they had a homosexual be the master of ceremonies.
No.
Local homo radio talk show host.
The Boy Scouts.
Yep. And they, last year, that chapter adopted a non-discrimination policy saying we will not discriminate against homosexual scoutmasters. This year, they introduced a merit badge for diversity.
No, merit badge.
Yeah, a merit badge for
okay.
For perversity.
All right. So to get the merit badge, what, you have to tolerate a homosexual and keep a smile on your face for an extended period of time?
That is funny, right? Because they talk about tolerance.
Right.
That's their big thing that they worship.
Sure, tolerance.
But tolerance, that obviously means homos are not good.
Well, yeah, you tolerate.
You tolerate, like, say, trash that stinks in the garage. Because it's not trash day yet for 2 days.
Right. So you tolerate
that
smell. Right. You just, you know, you work through
it. And, you know, Doug, I remember talking about homosexuals and how perverse they are, how disgusting, filthy, and comparing a homosexual to gutter slime.
Yeah, that's not very nice.
That's not nice. Oh. So one guy called in to utterly disagree, and he said, Bob, you should not say that. And I said, well, let me ask you, what would you rather have on you, a homosexual or gutter slime? And he said, gutter slime. I said, thanks for agreeing with me. Let's go to Massachusetts. Anne Marie, speak your mind.
Hi. Hi, Bob.
Anne, you're on with Bob and Doug McBurney.
Oh, great. Well, I've had the opportunity for the last few months. I've heard you. I've emailed a couple times. I'm a public school teacher.
Oh, boy.
Anne Marie, you're a public school teacher?
Yes, I am.
Are you calling in to yell at us?
No, I'm not.
Wow, that's cool.
Is that a switch?
That is a switch.
I'm a Christian public school teacher.
Christian public school
teacher. So you're
teacher.
A Christian.
Wow.
You're in the public school system.
Yes,
and Anne Marie.
In Massachusetts, in the demagogic liberal Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Yeah, and so, you know, did you ever hear the audio tape that was secretly recorded at a Massachusetts public school convention?
Fistgate?
Huh?
Fistgate?
Yeah.
That's it.
Please, let's not.
We don't even want to describe it anymore.
We don't even
want to
go there.
But this was homosexual activists teaching the teachers and the administrators how to teach the kids how to have
homosexual stuff.
Deplorable.
And it's paid for by tax dollars, the most despicable, disgusting teaching.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And they didn't know.
They didn't know they were being recorded.
Totally agree. I know. And they tried to hush it down and quiet it down.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and here I am, you know, even beyond that. I'm a union rep.
Oh, wow. Oh man, Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie, that's three strikes. Sorry.
Yeah, the first strike was just that you live in Massachusetts.
I know it.
You haven't moved out
public
yet.
School teacher.
Hey, Anne-Marie, we, for years, on Bob and Yurt Live, we've given a test.
Oh, don't go there.
Whether or not someone is a good Christian public school teacher or a bad one.
Oh, dear.
Would you like to take the test?
Oh, I feel like a lamb to the slaughter.
Go for it. Okay, well, here's... Well, let me tell you what a bad Christian public school teacher is. Because some people say, oh, well, my Johnny, there's a Christian teacher at his school.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, and Johnny's in sixth grade, and the Christian teacher was in second grade.
You're right.
But anyway, here's the bad Christian public school teacher.
Okay, go for it.
One that gives the parents a false sense of security that their kids are safe in the public school system.
I agree.
You agree?
Yeah.
All right.
So you've got to have a pretty tough row to hoe there.
The only good Christian public school teacher, because you could be there as a ministry. You could do that.
Absolutely.
But only good if you warn the community, if you warn parents, you warn the people you influence that the public school system is godless and destroying children.
Ooh, I try.
Good for you. You passed.
Oh, good.
All right.
But listen, you know, I got to tell you something that...
Yeah.
In the Massachusetts, in the curriculum frameworks, if you go to the back of the Appendix A, they have a list of readings that they suggest for children.
Yeah.
Now, this is Massachusetts, and they have the Bible as literature. This is in the public school.
Right. Does it say that, the Bible
the
as
teachers
literature?
Teachers aren't taking advantage of it. They're afraid. They're afraid to do anything with it. For example, in the pre-K through grade 2, the children should be exposed to Jonah and the fish, Daniel and the lion's den, Noah and the ark, Moses and the burning bush, and the story of Ruth, David, and Goliath.
You know what this is, Anne Marie.
And this is in the Department of Education.
Let's get, Anne Marie, let's get Doug's take on this.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was just going to say, you know what this is. Have you ever seen, sometimes there'll be a news story where they make fun of these old laws that have been on the books since like 1741?
Right, exactly.
That's obviously what it is.
Like you can't take a shower on Saturday.
Oh, sure, yeah.
This is an example of that.
You can't have a bed mattress on top of your car on a Sunday.
So, Anne Marie, the stories that they recommended were stories that, for the most part, they could read to little kids, and the average public school teacher would say, well, look at these myths where a man was swallowed by a whale, and we know that can't happen.
Well, that may be very true, except that when you get to the grades 5 through 8, You're supposed to expose them to Genesis, the Ten Commandments, the Psalms, the Proverbs, mm-hmm. Job, and in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount and the parables.
Yeah, and how do you think that got in there? Here's my guess. There was some conservative activists that really pushed and pushed and pushed, and so to cut a deal, they let some state board of education member get their way and put that in the appendix, but the rest of the state board knew that no one would ever go by that anyway. So well, it was just like throwing a bone.
Well, I'll take that bone.
Well, I agree.
I'll take the crumbs off the master's table.
I agree. In your position, you're there to undermine what they're trying to do and to have a Christian ministry, so you could do that in defense of your work there.
Absolutely.
Right. But
for me, I look at it as an open door.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
That God has given to me. Well, and I try to tell this to other teachers. They're saying, oh, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to touch the Bible. I said, look, they're giving it to you to do.
Right.
Take it.
But, and so that's the difference between a good teacher and bad teacher. Bad Christian teacher values her paycheck more than she does warning people about the public school system.
Oh, I agree.
Right.
Paycheck
is more important to them than the eternal souls of the kids in their classrooms.
I tell my children the most important that their decisions determine their destiny, and the most important decision that they will ever make is their relationship with God.
Amen, Anne Marie.
And that's if they can walk away from the fifth grade and remember that. And I'll tell you, I had last year, the counselor at my school came into my classroom, sat down, and I asked her, I said, is there someone you want to see? And she said, no, I just want to come in here. There's a peace in this room.
Ah. Hey.
So it's there. Jesus Christ goes in that room.
And Anne-Marie, what would happen, say, in a few years that one of the parents complains, and so the school district comes down on you?
If I lose my job, I lose my job, so be it.
All right.
If that's what God wants for me,
well,
I'll be there until
God
he doesn't
might
want
not,
me there.
Anne-Marie, God might not want it, but it might happen anyway.
Yeah.
Sure, but then he has something else.
That's right. Because, look at the apostles and the prophets.
Absolutely.
Look at the apostles and the prophets all getting killed.
Absolutely.
And God just grieving over how evil the people were who killed his servants. But so that they might persecute you in that way.
Sure.
But on Judgment Day, no, in heaven, do you think you'll be mourning that they fired you?
Absolutely not.
No, you'll be celebrating.
Absolutely not. I know I'm there.
Right.
Until God wants me someplace else.
Well,
I have no problem with that because I know that I have a much higher authority to answer to than the superintendent of schools.
There you go, Anne Marie. Thank you so much for an inspirational call.
That
wow.
was great. Thanks, Anne Marie.
You know, so if you want to know anything about the public school system here in Massachusetts.
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask our call screener to get your number.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So there
call.
We have it. Confirmation from Boston. The Bible's been relegated to the small print. While the stuff you can't hardly read without a microscope.
And the appendix is the part that gets taken out all the time anyway. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Doug, she's the good teacher.
Yeah.
She's the good Christian teacher.
She's doing the best with what she has.
Yeah, well, that's great. But the bad teachers are the ones who defend the system.
Yeah.
And most Christian teachers defend the public school system.
Sure they do.
Yeah.
Listen, I got a headline.
Yeah.
A shocking headline.
Yeah.
Dick Morris, you remember Dick Morris, right?
Oh, yeah, he's the Clinton family values guy.
That guy.
Who got arrested with the prostitute.
Something about some toes. I forget the details.
Right. He's the Clinton family values guy.
The Clinton family values guru. He's a conservative now. Did you know this?
Yeah, who's ever in the White House?
Yeah, well, Dick's a conservative now. He's got a debut article this week. He started writing for Newsmax.
I know. It's funny.
On the internet, which I thought it was a conservative news site. The headline, Dick Morris says, George W. Bush stands on principle. That's the headline of Morris's column.
Stands on principle. I wonder what principle. You know, if he would have been standing on that principle from Minnesota, that would have been a principle that he should have stood on. But when we come back, let's figure out what he's talking about.
It's a live commercial spot, Bob. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready? You know what I recently purchased?
What?
Was your Train Up a Child package.
You purchased it?
I purchased
it. Doug, you work here. You can take it.
But I'm working on a child of my own, so I felt it was a worthwhile investment.
Doug always buys the stuff that he stocks on the shelves.
I try to do my best.
You, by the way, Doug. That's really nice of you. Because we need the money to keep going.
Yeah, and let me tell you folks something. The Train Up a Child package is, first of all, it's the book, Train Up a Child by Michael and Debbie Pearl, mm-hmm. and then a couple of audio cassettes, a couple of sermons that were delivered there at Denver Bible Church on child rearing. The best $20 you'll ever spend in your life is to get this package, $19.95 actually. Mm. If you're Canadian, there's no discount. But it's worth it. I read this book just the other day, Bob. I practiced what this book and your tapes preach right there in church.
Right.
I had to discipline my daughter, who's 10 months old.
Right.
And she already understands everything.
She does. She's so beautiful.
She understands.
You have the prettiest girl.
But she's a little
in the whole world.
She has a little devious little streak in her heart.
She does.
Oh, she does.
There's and so, just in case there's some social workers listening right now,
right.
Let's make it clear what you did. You took the chain off your motorcycle,
right?
And how old is she?
10 months.
10 months, and you whipped her about
flogged
eight
her lashes. On the back in the backside area,
right? Because that's what we Christians
right.
do.
Yeah.
But anyway, your daughter is so sweet.
But I tell you
beautiful.
What, Bob, the tips and the common sense stuff from your sermons,
from Train Up a Child,
and the book from Michael and Debbie Pearl, they go a long way to preventative training. So you don't have to discipline very often.
Right.
You usually just train. Just the other day, I'm at the top of the stairs. Nicole was playing with something. I told her, Nicole, no. She turned around and didn't play with it for the next 40 minutes. I didn't even think about her.
Isn't that neat?
I thought about her. But I didn't have to keep watching her, and we didn't have a little contest.
Right.
Because I listened to the tapes. I read the book. I got the Train Up a Child package. I called 888-836-9278, 1995, for anyone who's even thinking about having kids.
So if you have kids or grandkids or neighbors' kids.
Yeah.
Are you know people that have kids that don't know how to raise them.
Yeah.
This is a neat little packet, and you could just loan it to them.
Yeah. Pick it up.
My mother gives people things like this to teach them things, and she says, here, I need it back next week. Can I have it back by Wednesday? And then they got to read it.
Amen.
Listen. All right.
888-836-9278. We're back on, Bob.
All right.
I just wanted to say, before you try to follow up, there was no point to the Dick Morris story. There was no point. It was just shocking to see a headline. I'm sure that Bush was happy to see this headline. Oh, Dick Morris thinks I stand on principle.
Well, Bush stands on principle. Maybe that's why he appoints homosexuals to high government office.
Right, and he authorizes abortions in some cases.
Yeah, he supports abortion. He nominates pro-abortion judges to the highest judicial positions he has opportunity to fill.
Now he hasn't assigned any now, has he, to the actual Supreme Court?
Well, no, he hasn't got to nominate
All
anybody
right.
to
so
the
now
U.S.
For,
Supreme
then
Court.
So for you to say that is a little, you know, we don't know what he's going to do.
Well, we know what he did in Texas, where he destroyed the Texas Supreme Court for a generation by packing it with radical pro-abort judges.
That's right.
He had a penchant for feminist, pro-abort,
strike two,
liberal judges.
Three, and he's out. Get out of here with that.
I mean, come on. He's supposed to be a Christian, conservative, pro-lifer.
Yeah.
He negotiates with terrorists.
Yes, he does.
He's trying to get the church to promote welfare.
Yeah, he is.
Church fair.
Yeah.
That's like taking prostitutes and putting them in the church.
Whoa.
The temple harlots. What? Welfare is evil. It's bad. Conservatives are against welfare. So George Bush's plan is, well, let's get the churches to distribute the government welfare.
And the government's going to be forking money over to the churches to give to the poor.
Yeah, for the churches to distribute.
Yeah.
So that then I guess conservative Christians won't be quite as against welfare as we've been.
Sure.
Because we get a cut. We're in on the take.
As long as we get a cut, right?
You know, whoever gets to spend the money has the power.
That's right.
So if the if your church could get $800,000 a year in a government grant to give out to people, those people are going to come to your church and put money in your collection plate.
Sure.
It's a bribery scheme. Practically unveiled bribery scheme.
Right in front, right out there in public, in broad daylight.
What principle? George Bush gave us the number one foreign policy improvement of a decade, which is the Bush Doctrine.
The Bush Doctrine.
You remember the Bush Doctrine.
If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist.
Right.
Right? Or you're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
Yeah.
The Bush Doctrine.
Yeah, the Bush Doctrine. And Yasser Arafat, he wasn't only harboring them. They were in his bedroom.
They were
under his bed.
Yeah.
He's paying the bills to buy the bombs for the suicide.
Listen to this, Bob. I got a story off the World Tribune just today. Israeli forces report that inside, you remember the compound in Ramallah that was reduced to like one shack? Well, in that shack, they found 10 bombs just a couple days ago.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's not like Yasser Arafat has suddenly changed his ways.
No. Right. Arafat, terrorists are us. It's not just that he's harboring terrorists. He is a terrorist.
He are a terrorist.
He are. Right. Terrorists are us. And so Bush should come out with the new Bush Doctrine, too, which is if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist.
Yes.
But he qualified his first one. If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. And then he himself, not only through his spokesman, but he said, well, we have to clarify that for the case of Yasser Arafat because he formerly negotiated for peace.
Oh, yeah.
That was his argument.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a clarification is that?
That's a Bush clarification.
That's like saying, well, this guy's a rapist, but he formerly helped an old lady across the street, so we can't call him a rapist.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? It's not really surprising then that George W. Bush and Dick Morris are really on the same team.
No, so I'm wondering what principles is Morris talking about? Oh. Thou shalt not steal, sexual immorality, murder. Murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. Bush says, well, I support killing some babies if it's going to get me votes.
Sure.
That's his policy on abortion.
Yeah, that's a harsh way to put it, but it really is true.
Well, and he appoints pro-abort judges to the Texas Supreme Court. He destroyed the court.
Yeah, got to get that feminist vote. Well, first of all, Bob, I don't think Dick Morris is aware of any of the principles that you just mentioned, so this obviously couldn't be talking about
Don't murder, don't commit adultery.
No, I don't think he's familiar.
Don't steal.
He might be familiar slightly with a couple of those, but there's a few that he hasn't.
When George Bush is coming up with policy, they're in the Oval Office, and he's got his advisors.
Yeah.
Does he think, well, God said thou shalt not steal, how does that apply to the government? Does that thought go through his brain?
No.
If God says, thou shalt not murder, but I support killing some kids so I can get more votes.
Bob, I don't think it goes through his mind. In fact, the way things are going in our government today, I don't think that's going through any of their minds. And if it did go through their minds, they'd feel guilty about it and probably seek counseling.
Yeah, right. 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278.
You want me to tell you what goes through George Bush's mind when he's deep in thought trying to come up with policy?
What?
Nuclear.
No.
Nuclear jewelry.
Now you're pronouncing that incorrectly, Doug.
Well, George W. Bush says nuclear. I'm sorry. And if you, ladies and gentlemen, you may be offended, but if you'll check the spelling, it's not nuclear.
It's nuclear.
And it's not jewelry either. But that's a separate issue altogether.
Jewelry and nuclear.
But you know what, Bob? Here's the bottom line about George Bush. You remember a few weeks ago they were asking the question, what did he know and when did he know it?
Right.
Well, I think it's obvious to everyone that he didn't know very much, and whatever he knows, he probably learned quite recently. He's just not the brightest guy.
It is sad that the FBI, even the Justice Department, hid from Bush for months. I mean, stuff really that was on Newsmax and the Drudge Report.
Right. Yeah.
But they only just told Bush just very recently about some of the more dramatic evidence that they had pointing to the terrorists before September 11th. And they held that back from Bush. That's a bad sign that Ashcroft would hold back the most damning stuff from Bush.
Yeah.
You know, those guys are close, supposedly.
Yeah, well, I know Ashcroft and Rumsfeld are probably pretty close.
So what that tells me is that Ashcroft really knows that this information really does make them look bad.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he would have told Bush about it.
Sure.
And it is bad stuff.
Well, but Bob, you got to admit that it can't be as bad now as it would be if Al Gore had been elected. At least we don't have Al Gore in the White House.
I can't.
Well, I'm just stating the position that everyone who voted for Bush has fallen back to. Least we don't have Al Gore.
I know. You know, on Rush, I don't get time to listen to Rush all that much. But when I tune in the last couple of weeks for literally 30 seconds at a time, they were talking about how liberal Bush is and how can he get any more liberal.
On Rush?
Callers and Rush seem to be agreeing. So I don't know what they've been talking about, but apparently they're going over the dramatic increases in government spending where Bush is spending faster increase than Clinton did.
Well, they would have never let Clinton get away with it.
And that's what we predicted on the show before the election was that Bush would increase spending faster than Clinton.
Yeah.
And he's pretty liberal.
He's a liberal. That's all. He's a liberal. You've just stated it very succinctly.
Bush is a liberal.
Bush is a liberal, and if you voted for him, you're a sucker. That's all. Don't feel bad. Hey, okay. I've made some stupid decisions in my life.
So what if Al Gore was president when September 11th? Well, how about Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
What did we have, a conservative Christian in the White House?
No, I think he was like a card-carrying communist or Roosevelt, right?
Yeah, and he's, you know, the father of welfare and socialism in America.
Oh, yeah.
He's just, and so, you know, World War II, we were pretty tough. We responded pretty firmly.
Yeah.
So when you get attacked, it sort of doesn't matter. I mean, look at in New York City, Giuliani,
the biggest empty suit on the planet, looks like a genius through this thing.
Exactly.
Who can believe
and
that?
He's sexually immoral. He's pro-abor,
marches with the homos right in front of that Catholic church.
Conservatives all over the country were supporting the next Republican to get in there, mayor of New York City.
Totally Bloomberg.
Not only pro-abortion, but pro-partial birth abortion.
Increased funding for abortion training.
Murdering kids, right. He's forced the hospitals in New York to train medical students on how to do abortions.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And the conservatives and the Christians all over are supporting him.
Well, we've got a Republican. We've got a Republican there. That's
right. It's as though if Hitler were running as a Republican, they'd vote for him. They would.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that was it Bloomberg?
Bloomberg.
Or Bush are like Hitler.
No, they're not like Hitler.
I'm not saying that. But you know what? When a man who claims to be a Christian, hopefully he is, when he supports killing some innocent kids, that's worse than when an evil man kills a lot of people.
Wow.
Because when a good man justifies slaughtering innocent children for his political gain as a political strategy, that's really, really, really bad.
Boy.
That's bad.
I mean, what Hitler did was bad, but I mean, the way you put it.
And you know what James Dobson said couple years ago when he started agreeing with us on the show about abortion?
Yeah.
Because he would support politicians who support killing some kids.
Sure, yeah, I remember that.
And we just would rail against that from time to time. And he said, finally, he put it in print, and he said it on his radio show, that he gave a pledge that he would never again support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child.
Wow.
That was a great pledge.
He must be listening to your show.
No, because then he violated it by helping George W. Bush get elected. And by Dobson's own standard, he shouldn't have.
Dobson, you Bob, there's a live commercial there.
Live commercial. Doug, I want to give the audience the questions that are answered in the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 5.
Okay.
And they're in our Romans Volume 1. This is, and you tell me.
Volume 1, that's a 6-tape series?
Yeah.
$29.95?
$24.95. Here are the questions answered by Paul's first five chapters of Romans. Is there proof for God's existence?
That's in Romans,
and it's in this album that we've got, this teaching through Romans.
Right.
What can be known of God apart from the Bible? That's fun. What can you know about God if you don't have a Bible?
Wow.
Are men born with knowledge of God? Are men basically good or basically evil? Mm-hmm. What role will a man's conscience play on Judgment Day?
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Wow.
Even for an unbeliever, somebody who's never heard the gospel, what role does his conscience play? Why does God condemn sexual immorality, including homosexuality? Why do we blame Adam more than Eve? That's an interesting one.
Ooh. Because, and we do, don't we?
Yeah, we blame Adam more than Eve. So why? Who is Jesus Christ? Is there any hope for the man who has never heard the gospel?
Ooh, now there's a good, you know, that's a question
in Romans.
That the pagans and the heathens always throw at you. What
right.
about the guy
How about
in
somebody
deepest,
who's never
darkest
heard?
Zimbabwe? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's wow. Paul deals with that in Romans. And people can order 1-888-836-9278. Get this audio tape album, money back guarantee.
Man.
And how about this? Did God's choosing of Israel benefit them or hurt them? Ooh. Because they've been through the wringer.
It's been tough for Israel.
Yeah. Is the world under the law? Are Christians under the law? All this in one album. Actually, just read the book.
Bush first, then the liberals.
All right. First, we're going to go to South Bend, Indiana, and then Texas. In Texas, that's the home of ranchers and oil men, right?
Hey, yeah.
So probably in Texas, we'll get a conservative.
Don't mess with Texas.
Now, South Bend, Indiana, that's near Chicago.
Right.
And Michigan.
That's the home of several universities.
There are a lot of liberals in Indiana.
It's crawling with liberals.
So we don't know. You know, this is just demographics.
Yeah.
But you can't trust demographics.
We'll see.
So let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Jim, speak your mind.
Yeah. I went to the library a couple of weeks ago with my daughter.
Yes.
And I started looking through books, and I found one called Saving Private Power. And they had a thing in there about President Bush, his two grandfathers.
Yeah.
If they raised $50 million for the Nazis between 1936 and in 1942, they got shut down for trading with the enemies that
Wait,
had
from,
a family
from,
banking,
from 19, from
banking ni- business.
All right, from 1936?
Yeah.
To 42. The Bush grandfathers did business with the Germans.
Well, you know, most of America and Europe did business with the Germans early on.
Unfortunately.
And so, you know, even if that were true, it's hard to make a judgment call based on it. But
it's interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what? It does point up that just like the abortion issue, I hope that 50 or 60 years from now, people look back and they say, how could we have ever thought to do something like that? Like right now, we think, how could people have thought to do business with Hitler?
With the Nazis. And Jim, think about this. Think about a country doing business with America right now.
Yeah.
How evil we are. Right?
Yeah.
We promote homosexuality and abortion and welfare, evolution. Just
perjury, adultery.
It's
all legal.
Divorce. Our families are falling apart. And you know that there are nations that do business with us.
I've got another thing I was reading, another book.
All right, but
they got a thing about Rush Lombard.
Yeah, Rush. What did his grandfather do?
Biggest promoter and contributor was Phil Donahue.
Well, Phil Donahue wasn't. I think that's true. Phil Donahue was involved in Rush. Wasn't he involved in Rush's career?
And he was also
I thought
Notre
Rush
Dame
was a self-made
ago,
man.
fighting for a gay club on campus.
Who?
Phil Donahue.
Well, now we know Phil Donahue is a filthy, corrupt heathen.
We know about Phil Donahue.
Shock us there.
But, you know, Rush was
Hey, you know what? I'm aligning myself with some liberals in the hopes of advancing my career. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Rush did use some of their money.
Yeah, that's not, you know, the worst thing in the world. But Rush is a bit liberal himself.
He's a flaming liberal.
You think?
Oh, man, I can't listen to him anymore.
Well, the only thing he does is he's cheerleader for the Republican Party.
Yes.
And he says because he criticizes them once in a while, he's not. But he is. I mean, that's what his show is. It's a Republican.
Yeah.
It's a Republican show.
Sure.
And
that's fine.
He says that America needs more God. Any God will do, but we just need more God. That's a Rush quote, and that's also a George W. Bush quote. Bush has said that recently.
Yeah. United religions.
Castro said something like that.
Bush said recently, we need more God. It doesn't matter which religion. We just need more religion.
Get us a God in here.
More Taliban and Al-Qaeda. That's religion.
Sure, that's a religion.
And you know what else he said? And I think he's done this. I heard it once. I think I remember it more than once. He talks about an Almighty.
An Almighty?
Yeah,
as opposed to the Almighty.
Yeah, he says people need to give thanks to an Almighty.
Oh, man.
An Almighty. Now, did George W. Bush go to public schools in Texas? I don't know. I wouldn't think so.
Well, we know he's not big when it comes to grammar.
Hasn't he heard the difference between a definite article and an indefinite article?
You'll have to see the Clinton testimony for that.
Now, the Greek language, they don't have indefinite articles, but in English we do. Bush would have been better off if he was speaking Greek because it would have been ambiguous.
Sure.
But an almighty, the word almighty means almighty, having all might.
There can't be an almighty.
There can't be two almighties. There can only be one, so you have to use the definite article. For the public school teachers tuning in right now, that's the word the in English.
All right. So this either all relates back to that whole nuclear jewelry thing, or Bush no. is willfully ignorant.
All right, Jim, and I want to thank you for your call very much. And I don't think it's the
I can't even say it. Nuclear. It's hard.
Nuclear.
Nuclear.
It's painful to say. All right. I don't think it's that.
I don't think it's that.
Bush is intentionally saying an almighty.
That's what I think, yeah.
And God is offended every time Bush says that.
Oh, yeah.
An almighty. And when Bush says we need more religion, any religion will do, God is incensed because all those other religions are sending people to hell.
Wow, that's not very nice.
Let's go to Texas now. Now, that South Bend call, that was a conservative.
That was a conservative from South Bend. Let's see what we get down in Texas.
Down in Texas, Tom, speak your mind.
Bob, I want you to know that I'm right of John Wayne.
All right. I like that. Hey, guess what movie my family and I are going to watch late tonight? Sands of Iwo Jima.
All right.
We just got it on DVD.
It's a perfect
video.
You better
get Doug in there because he's an ex-Marine and he can give you all the inside scoop.
Yeah, Doug's right here.
Well, I never heard a shot fired in anger.
Real quick, I talked to your mom today. I asked her who you got your brains from.
My mom, working in the office, she and Pops have moved to Colorado so they could support Bob and Yurt Live and Denver Bible Church, and we're so thankful. So you got to talk to my mom today.
Yes, and she unabashedly said that you inherited the brains from her.
From her side of the family.
She's not shy.
You know, real quick, Bob, the other night you did something that was really brilliant when you said, how do you know you're a liberal?
Right.
And then you had this list.
Yeah.
And it's kind of reminded me that years ago on the Internet, there was a how do you know you're a redneck? And there was a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, boy, and you...
That list is already on the Internet.
And so I thought... You know, how do you know you're... Have you done that already?
No, it's not... That's not original with us. You know, we put our own twist to it.
Yeah.
And our own touch. But that list is anonymous, and it's been on the web for some time.
Oh, has it? Oh
yeah.
Darn it, because I thought, you know, that the stuff that you come up with the other night was really, really good.
Yeah, we modified that anonymous list somewhat.
Yeah, my contribution would be... You know you're a liberal when you celebrate the birth of a spotted owl, and you
pay to have a baby killed.
Yeah,
no,
that would be my one.
That's good.
I was
going
to say if you hug a tree,
I got one
but kill
question
a child
for you, and then I'll let you answer it, and I'll hang up.
Yeah,
why do the American people? Why do they not accept the fact that men who molest boys are homosexuals and not pedophiles?
Let's say that they're both, Tom.
Well, I know they're pedophiles, but
right. They're
very, very careful
right.
in the
what?
Liberal
okay.
news media
let's,
not to call them homosexuals.
Let's talk this.
He's right about that.
Let's talk this through here. If you point out about the Boy Scouts who've been molested by Scoutmasters over the decades,
yep.
and there have been a lot of them. If you point that out to someone and say, all this homosexual child molestation in the Boy Scouts, and they'll say, oh, no, it's not homosexual. They're just pedophiles.
There's a talk show host in Dallas that even says that they're not homosexuals, that most of them are heterosexual men.
Right, which we know that's not true in this way. Of all the children who are sexually molested, one-third of them, almost, are boys.
Wow.
Have you ever heard that statistic?
Yeah, I remember reading it in your pamphlet.
All right, so you got it from us. We got it from a scientific journal, Psychology Reports, 1986. And that's before the homo movement really exploded.
I was going to say, that's before it really took off.
And you know,
right, but wait, Tom, wait, there's more. One-third of the kids molested are boys, and of them, 90% of them are molested by men.
Mm. Wow.
You got that statistic?
Yeah.
So now what that means is homosexuals, if they're 3% of the population, they are molesting kids far out of proportion of their cut of the demographic. Far out of proportion. Yeah. Well, and also, a number of those men molesting boys also molest girls, and some of the girls molested are molested by lesbians. So it's somewhere around a third of the kids, or over a third, just over a third of the kids molested are molested by 3% of the population. Hmm. So a tenfold increase in the likelihood of molesting a child.
Why won't the news media say that?
They wouldn't say that if you held a chainsaw to their throat.
You know why?
The only one I heard say anything about that was Fred Barnes on a Britt Hume show at 6 o'clock on Fox News, and he said, I don't know why we're not pointing our fingers at the homosexuals, because this has everything to do with homosexuals.
Yeah.
And he was the only
Tom, hold on here. Doug, go.
Well, I was going to give my 2 cents on why the media won't say it. It's because they're all a bunch of doped up, child molesting, homosexual, sex addict perverts in the media.
Doug, maybe you should just break out of your shell and tell us.
And you know what? And you want to know something, Tom? Here we sit in America, and our churches don't know what to do with homosexual pedophiles, and our government doesn't know what to do with murderers. And where do we go from here?
Right.
Who'd ever thunk it, huh?
Well, Bob Inyart could tell them what God has to say, what we should do with them.
We're going to keep working on that, and you do the same, Tom.
Thank you very much for your call, Tom.
Okay.
God bless you.
Man, Tom, you're holding that audience in Texas. I love
Rancher in Texas.
Yeah, he's hardcore.
Yeah, that's
love that guy.
So, hey, Doug, your show begins tomorrow on KHOW Radio.
KHOW AM 630, 4 to 5 p.m.
Hey, I bet you KHOW has a website.
They do, I'm sure.
I bet you they stream live.
I'm sure they do. KHOW.com. They do stream live.
And I bet you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Mountain Time, 6 o'clock Eastern, I bet they'll have more out-of-state listeners on their streaming audio than they've ever had.
Let's crash their server.
There we go.
Hey, Bob, we talked about Al Gore earlier.
Yeah.
Well, he's not in the White House, but he was frisked twice. Twice, two different flights at Reagan National Airport. And this is after he shaved the beard.
See, they named that airport properly. All right. Okay. Of course he'd get frisked at Reagan.
Well,
the 30-year-old Palestinian men getting on the same flights were not searched.
Right.
They were not searched because that's – in America, we have – Reverse profiling. Where we will not search Palestinian men.
We won't even make eye contact. Sorry, sir.
Right.
Go right ahead.
Between the ages of 15 and 40, they don't get searched.
Unbelievable.
Only 72-year-old grandmothers, ex-presidential candidates.
Exactly.
That's who we search.
Generals.
Right.
Oh, come on.
And it's true, too. We wouldn't frisk an Arab man getting onto a plane.
Very insensitive.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be very insensitive.
And that's it. It's not that the FBI and the CIA, they don't communicate. No. That's not why the failures from our intelligence community.
No.
It's because we don't have the guts to do what's right.
Amen.
That's why.
The government. Ugh.
And our intelligence community sort of sounds like we're talking about the public schools.
We'll keep working on them, though.
Does Bob Inyart remind you to do right and risk the consequences?